Hello, Jordan.
What's up, Michael?
Dude, stretching.
Oh, geez. You want to talk about stretching again?
No, I don't want to talk about stretching again. How are you?
Dude, I'm good. I'm good.
There's something about weekly Q&As in the mentorship where momentum builds, and I feel like they have gotten better and better week to week.
Literally over the last like 5 years, like every week they get better. Yeah, it's very cool.
I mean, it's true that they get better the more that we do them. Yes. And mm-hmm. The questions like level up, obviously, and discussion topics on the pod probably fuel some discussion topics there, but also just doing them more frequently in the group leads to like being in a real groove.
Mm. Yeah. As opposed to like once every other week, now moving to weekly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A more community feel.
Yeah.
It's really good. I like how so many of the questions are like, obviously we get business questions too, but I like how so many questions are client focused questions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like a lot of other business programs and gurus and masterminds, it's all just like, how to make more sales, how to make more sales, how to make more sales, da da da. And it's like in hours, it's, hey, like I have a client who's struggling with this. What recommendations do you have? Does anyone else in the group have something going on like this? It's so focused on the client and so focused on how to be a better communicator and a better coach, which like we always say is what helps you build a better business. But every time we get so many of those questions, I'm like, this is like a truly amazing group. So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
How are you? What's happening?
Dude, not much, man. My wife is in her 13th or 14th week now of pregnancy.
Let's go. So, I didn't realize you had talked publicly about that. That's amazing.
I announced it. I spoke about it on a YouTube video. At the very end of a YouTube video. She's good.
How's she feeling?
She was super nauseous the first trimester. And now like that has like just started to end. So she's getting more energy back. She's feeling much better now. She was just working out. So yeah, all is good. All is good. My That's one and amazing. A half year old is just turning into a real menace, which is, she really like acts a lot like me, which is very crazy to see. So yeah.
Gives you a small taste of what your parents
had. Medicine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom laughs about it. My mom laughs a lot about it. She's like, yeah, she's doing the exact same stuff that you did. Just wait.
Just wait.
What's up with you, man? How's everything with you?
Snow, you know, a lot of the same.
You watching anything good? Any good shows or movies?
No, I'm not watching anything good. 1883 is solid.
Is that the Yellowstone thing?
Yeah, it's one of the Yellowstone prequels. It came like very highly recommended. And so I might have come in with too high of expectations, but it's good. It's enjoyable.
Is that the one that I already saw?
I don't know. I haven't seen 1923. There's two of them.
Is that the one that starts with her getting like shot with an arrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, it was good. I liked Yellowstone way better. Yellowstone was way better, but it was a good intro, and it was cool like to see what it was like before.
Yeah, and supposedly more historically accurate, and different times. Not even 150 years, and like just the insane level of difficulty and discomfort and death that they had to experience on a day-to-day basis compared to what we experience is insane. It's almost unbelievable.
Did you watch the whole thing already?
I'm on episode 6.
Got it. Yeah, dude, it is pretty nuts if you think about how relatively recent that era was. I think it's so easy for people to be like, oh, that was a couple hundred years ago. It was so long. Like, it's really not that long. Like 100 years is not a long time, but such drastic changes in life is it's insane.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
It's crazy. I didn't realize that Native Americans would sometimes like dip their arrows in poop so that it would like cause an issue.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think I'm to that part yet.
Oh, got it. Oops.
That's okay.
Yeah, not a real spoiler, but like,
are you sure you didn't watch 1923?
No, I'm sure. Maybe you're just not at that part yet. But yeah, okay. Like
they're on a trek. They're on a trek from Texas to Oregon, and they're going through rivers, and they have all these like I don't know if they're German or Dutch people with them who don't know how to do anything. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yep. And it's like that really cute blonde girl who's like the main actress, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And like they just kill people. Like people just get killed all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone walks around with a gun and like it's their issues. And it's like, all right, we're just going to kill you now. Like they're like the law is, it's crazy. It's really wild.
Yeah. Different times. That's for sure. Let's rip some Q&A. I got a good feeling about your questions right now. I have a very strong positive feeling.
All right. I know we've spoken a lot about home gyms. Someone asked me a very specific pointed question. Carrie Ann VT said, if you had $1,000 and minimal space, what would you buy for the home gym?
Bowflex adjustable dumbbells, a pull-up bar, an adjustable bench. Depending on if you get the 52s or the 90s with the Bowflex, it's either like 450 versus 650, I want to say. What would I get after that? I feel like a couple of bands are high ROI depending on your level of experience. If you can't do a body weight pull up or chin up, having a couple of bands so you can do them assisted would make a lot of sense. Yeah, so that's under 1,000. I would definitely have those things in addition to possibly a couple of other things to get us up to the $1,000 mark. How about you?
Yeah, I would do either Bowflex or Power Blocks. I would probably only go up to the 50 or 55. I wouldn't go to the 90s because the 90s are so big that sometimes they're just awkward to hold. And like most people, I just don't think need that much. Like there's so much they can do with just the 50s. But, you know, especially just starting out. So I would just get like 50 pounds.
If you're a beginner, for sure.
Yeah, 50 pounds. And then I would get a pull-up bar. I'd also get a TRX or some type of suspension trainer in addition to that.
Yeah.
An adjustable bench, a physio ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably like my starting point. Maybe a kettlebell or two, maybe like a, like somewhere between a 16 to a 24 kilogram kettlebell would be nice to have.
I was thinking that too.
I think that's it. I think that'd probably take you to right about a grand.
We're rapid fire questions today. Today's a rapid fire episode.
I know you're not on social media, so you're not seeing a lot of stuff. Have you?
I scroll weird Twitter a little bit.
Have you seen people taking colostrum?
I don't know what that is.
Dude, it's, this is very odd. So colostrum, and I'm going to say it wrong. Let me just like make sure I'm saying it properly so no one freaks out on me. You're going to sort of freak out when you hear this. Okay. I'm just going to read the definition from Google. Colostrum is the milk produced during the first few days after birth and contains high levels of immunoglobulins, antimicrobial peptides, and growth factors. Colostrum is important for supporting the growth, development, and immunologic defense of neonates, so for babies. So literally, like, colostrum is the milk that the woman will produce, like, really early on, to the point where sometimes what mothers will do is even before the baby is born, like they can harvest their own colostrum before the baby is born. So like they can have a back store of it and like freeze it beforehand, but it's like a very special, unique type of milk. It doesn't even look the same necessarily. And I didn't know what it was until we had our daughter, but like, it's like a very unique early on milk that that she'll produce once the baby is born. And all of a sudden in the last, I don't know, maybe 2 months, I'm getting a lot of questions from people about, what do you think about taking colostrum? And at first when I start getting them, I'm like, that's a weird fucking question. And I just like, I don't even pay attention because I'm just thinking, why would an adult be drinking colostrum? Where would they even get colostrum? Da-da-da. Like, where are they buying this? And I'm starting to get so many questions that now I'm Googling it. And the first thing that I type is I type, what is colostrum? And the first thing that comes up is this company that is the number one people are talking about ads. It's called Armra colostrum. And I'm not promoting it, like the opposite of promoting it, but it's literally, I think they take colostrum, I think from cows or something. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but they take colostrum from something. I'm looking at the website right now. It's very sales based, but it's like literally getting people to fucking try and take colostrum, which is just for their health and whatnot. And they have all these celebrities, I think, like, I forget which celebrities they said, I'm not going to falsely say some, but they have like all these celebrities who are pushing it and trying to get people to take it. And it's just, it's insane right now. I'm getting constant questions about it.
I mean, let me try and devil's advocate, right? So newborn baby, you know, needs nutrition and sustenance. Mother naturally produces this milk-like substance, and then whoever wants to hack the system and take this because they think it's going to make them as an adult. Like, what are the benefits they're promoting?
All right. So we start with the highest quality colostrum. We source our colostrum from family-owned dairy farms throughout the USA. So they're getting it from cows.
Okay. I mean, people drink cow's milk.
Correct. Correct. But now what the fuck? This is just seems like another. Yeah, they're calling it a superfood, which is a huge red flag. They're saying that it's better for. It says it gives you a 22% increase in longevity, which is pretty crazy. That's a huge claim. Uh-huh. Against inflammation in immune cells, and 17% in gut cells, 32% stronger and more rapid antibacterial immune defense than other colostrums. Less than 2 hour onset for antibacterial immune protection, 7 times faster regeneration of the gut barrier, even under inflammatory conditions. I mean, they have some really wild claims on this thing, which is, yeah. And people are eating this up. They must be spending, I can't even imagine how much money on ads, because they're popping up everywhere and they're paying some really well-known celebrities to push it. But I'm just getting this all over in all of my Q&As. It's like every single time I'm getting at least like 25 to 50 questions about this every time I do a Q&A.
Wow. It's trending hard. I don't know. I mean, obviously I didn't know what it was when you mentioned it. And so I can't give any solid advice here. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Yep.
Seems like a weird new hack. I'll tell you what, if they're running ads all over the place and they have that much money to be pumping into ads, the margins on it must be insane. So a lot of BS supplements where they're selling at like 10, 20, 50X over cost of goods sold, like crap.
Yeah.
Not worth it. But I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I feel slightly better that it's from cows and not from
humans.
Females. Yeah.
Our colostrum is sourced straight from the hospital. Right? Yeah. The neonatal unit.
The highest quality.
All right. I have some questions. I have a question that I have. What, if any, do you think are the supplements everyone should be taking? Like, what do you think are like the best supplements that everyone should be taking?
Some kind of protein powder is just an easy way to get enough protein consistently, conveniently, with reasonably good taste, especially for someone who struggles to get enough protein. If you don't eat any fatty fish, taking fish oil makes sense. I haven't for a number of years just because I'll eat salmon once a week. Vitamin D, if you are not getting it from the sun, combined with vitamin K2, which research has shown reduces the atherosclerotic effects that vitamin D supplementation over time in and of itself can lead to. I think that's about it. You know, we've talked about superdosing vitamin C when you're on the verge of getting sick. I'm not a fan of consistently taking greens powders. I think it's a waste of money. Eat a nutritious diet instead. I do take creatine. I think it's overrated in the current landscape.
Yes, agreed.
I don't love when we get overly confident about the safety of something based on the current body of research. And the two examples that come to mind for me are actually creatine, which I'm not worried about creatine. I'm taking it myself consistently. There might be some kind of protective effects, cardio and brain related. The strength upside is there. I don't take like 25 grams a week. I'm probably taking 12 to 15 grams a week because I'm not calculating how much I'm getting from food as well. So I'm just erring on the safer side. I'm also not training that intensely. So do I recommend creatine? Yeah, if you're an intermediate trainee and you want to gain strength, sure. I'm not as gung-ho about it as the average person is right now who's gung-ho about it. The other, because we always hear like, it's the most researched supplement. There's so much research going back 40 years. It's like 40 years is not, you know, we talked about 1883 and how much things have changed. Like 40 years isn't that much time. Even these, you know, we have research going back to the 50s and 60s around GLP-1s. It's like, okay, that doesn't mean they're not completely safe. Like we might have some studies that go back to the 50s and 60s, but there are still a lot of unknowns. And so it's a long way of saying, yes, I'd take creatine, even though I think it's slightly overrated.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of people think that overrated means it's bad. Doesn't mean it's bad. Just like in the current climate, people place too much value on it.
Correct.
And make some pretty ridiculous claims about it. Like I get pissed when people are like, yeah, like this is what you need to be taking for brain health. It's like, you should get off social media and read a fucking book for your brain health is what you should be doing.
And actually working out and getting blood flow to the brain and doing zone 2 and zone 5 cardio. Like those things are better for your brain health. Not smoking cigarettes. Like all those things are better for your brain health than taking any kind of supplement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anything that you would add to that list or want to discuss?
Not really. I mean,
what else is popular?
What else is popular? I mean, colostrum is a big one right now. Oh, collagen is a big one. Like people, there's so much like controversy over collagen. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it.
I still have 12 grams of type 2 undenatured collagen in my pre-workout, costs like 80 cents or something for that amount of it, maybe less, maybe 65 cents. And just for joints and feeling good, not for any like skin, hair, nail. I don't think the research shows that there's much of any benefit there, but probably a little bit or placebo, which I'm okay with for how my joints feel.
Did you see Alan Aragon's bit on that on collagen?
You sent it to me and I read it and I forgot that I read it, but yes.
Yeah. So he does seem to think that there is a pretty, at least a enough of a potential benefit for hair, skin, nails, where it's like, if that's a concern, it might be worthwhile.
Maybe I didn't read it then. I feel like wasn't this like 6 months ago?
I don't know. You know, I'm not good with timelines.
Okay.
But he got a fair amount of kickback from it where people were like, I can't believe you're saying this. And he was like, I'm just looking at the data. And he's like,
interesting.
Looks like there might be enough, but like, it's like, you know, I have no idea. I haven't looked in the research. I trust Alan and he's always had super high integrity with that stuff. So,
what did he say about joint health?
I don't even know if that was brought up in that post. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but from my memory, he was saying that there actually does seem to be some pretty clear benefits for hair, skin, nails. And if nothing else, there's enough like anecdote for people who have been saying it's, and I mean, you've got ridiculous hair, skin. I don't know about your nails, but you've got super good hair and skin. So
thank you. I've only been taking collagen for 18 months. And
so it's pretty rapid results.
Discount code in the
Mikey V
below. Clearing up conflicting collagen claims. What positive results have been demonstrated from collagen supplementation on non-muscle tissues? The most active areas of collagen supplementation research are on joints and skin. A growing number of studies has spawned several systematic reviews and meta-analyses reporting collagen supplementation's effectiveness for improving orthopedic and dermatological outcomes. A recent narrative review by Campos et al. Sums up the current state of the evidence The literature shows that collagen supplementation can be beneficial in the treatment of skin changes, including wrinkles, increasing skin elasticity, hydration, firmness, and brightness, decreasing pores and solar elastosis, and increased collagen synthesis density and skin content. The use of collagen in the treatment of orthopedic alterations increases bone strength, density, and mineral mass, decreases extracellular matrix degradation, inhibits inflammatory cytokines, improves joint stability, functional capacity, and stiffness/mobility, and muscle recovery, reduces pain, and mitigates markers of joint cartilage degradation. So it sounds like benefits around both joints and skin.
It does seem to say that the greatest benefit. So it says, quoting Campos et al., the greatest beneficial effects of collagen peptides occur in populations with collagen degradation or at a greater risk of developing this type of condition, such as bone and cartilage loss resulting from aging, or even strenuous physical activity, joint impact, excess weight, hormonal changes, trauma, burns, aggressive cancer therapy, and skin and dental implants. So that's just one of the studies that he's quoting, but it does look like there are potentially like considerable benefits, joint and hair, skin, nail related to it.
Cool. Always be open to changing your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you got?
All right. This one is not what you want to discuss. We might throw this one out. She goes, you need to have a heart for the Gazans as well as the hostages. You seem to be one-sided, which is sad. Which is just so number one. Like, if you've listened to anything I've said, I am 100% for the Gazans, as well as the Israelis. I'm against Hamas, which is the terrorist organization which, by the way, like, this is the easiest way to quell these people. If you really care about Palestinian civilians, then you have to ask, why is Hamas hiding in a 300-mile tunnel network underneath the city and not letting their civilians be with them? Like, they have a tunnel network that is bigger than the New York City subway system, and they are not allowing their own civilians to take shelter with them. They have running water, they have electricity, they have food, they have everything underneath. Why aren't they allowing the citizens under? They have more than enough room, they have more than enough infrastructure, they have videos of everything going on down there, but they don't let their civilians down there. It's like, if you really want the Palestinians to be safe, get Hamas out. So I hate knowing that innocent Palestinians are dying. A Palestinian life matters just as much as an Israeli life. Period. End of story. And the way to save them is to get Hamas out of power. What do you think about that, Mike?
That seems very logical and reasonable to me, and seems, yeah. Have I ever spoken ill of Palestinians? What do I think of your take?
I thought you were asking what I think of the situation.
That's consistent with everything we've ever talked about off the podcast. Yeah.
Have I like ever been like Palestinian life? Like, I don't care about Palestinian lives. Like,
no.
Where someone would get that is just outrageous. It just means they don't listen.
Correct. And I was actually going to ask you, are you making a lot of content about it? About the conflict?
You know, it's funny. So I've done a number of podcasts that I haven't published. So I had done much more, but recently I've gotten in some debates with people, and I've been debating people nonstop about this. But every time I ask them if they want to do a podcast with me, and they're like, and a couple times they've said yes. We've come on, we've done a podcast, and after the podcast they say, "Can you not publish that? I wasn't aware of like." But I'll show you a screenshot. I took a screenshot of this guy who I did a podcast with him the other day, and then he asked me not to publish it. Oh, here we go. So now people can see, like, I'm not making this up. You're gonna have to turn around. Can you read that or no?
Yeah. Do you mind if you could not post the podcast, bro? I was not informed and I really just wanted to understand. Thanks. And you can send me any good links or info I could read.
Yeah. So I've done a number of podcasts with people who like, they think that they know what they're talking about, and then we'll get on and we'll actually have a real debate. And then by the end of it, they're like, yeah. Like, I did not realize what was actually happening, which is why, like, this is what I've studied this my whole life. So people are finding out about this conflict in the last few months on TikTok and Instagram and think that they're experts on it. And so I have not been making much published content, but now when I debate people. I'm like, just so you know, if you want to do a podcast, I'm going to publish it. Like, there, you can't ask me not to publish it afterwards. And so then, like, recently people have not been wanting to do the debates because I'll send them the screenshots. Like, people have asked me not to publish it. So if you want to, that's fine. But you're going to have to stand by what you say publicly. And so now lately people haven't been doing it.
Any Instagram content? Like, are you talking about on your stories? Okay. I'm just wondering.
No, not much recently. Not much recently. I, like, part of me wants to, but... there's so much going on. Like, I might bring my brother who's in Israel on the podcast. So he's since October 7th, like, a lot of people don't realize this. There are over like 250,000 Israeli refugees now, because obviously the people who are in southern Israel who were attacked, their homes were burned down, and all the missiles are still flying in from Gaza. Like, Hamas is still firing missiles. People don't realize it. Like, all the time missiles are flying in. So they were like, all these people who live in southern Israel are now refugees, and they're living in tents in different parts of Israel. And then also in northern Israel, on the border of Lebanon, Hezbollah has been firing rockets into northern Israel. So now hundreds of thousands of Israelis in northern Israel have had to flee their homes. And now, so they're scattered throughout, whether it's central Israel or in near the Dead Sea, like closer to Jordan. They're like, literally, like, 250,000 Israeli refugees are living in hotels and in tents in the ground. And my brother, he's a teacher. And so he's living at a hotel at the Dead Sea, teaching young kids, elementary school children, who, like, he's just teaching for free. And so he's like with them every day, 5 days a week, teaching them. Just, and he's been the outrage, like, they've all lost family members, they've all lost friends, like, all these young kids. And so I want to bring him on the podcast so that he can share, like, from his perspective, what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty nuts. Like, I want to share more, but it's also just like, there's just so much shit going on. It's nonstop. But people who have no background or knowledge in this are learning, seeing brief snippets online, and think that they're actually educated on it. And it's wild. What?
Just thinking about that hockey documentary from the early 90s I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And like, there's so much sadness and suffering and, like, not specifically related to the Middle East, but deceit and evil and, like, terrible things in the world that for all of human history, we didn't know about, right? And only in the last 10 years, I mean, a little bit in the last 100, sure, but really the advent of cell phone screen in your face, wake up, you're on, like, do we have access to all of this information? And I don't know. I feel like an old man, like, pondering, like, better times when we didn't have the, obviously there's pros and cons to technology, but I don't think as humans we're built to be able to consume as much negative information as the average person consumes. And I don't think we know the long-term effects that's going to have on us as individuals over the course of our lives.
Completely agree.
And outrage and negativity does well in terms of engagement. And so people, and feeds have become unbelievably addictive, and it's even going to become more addictive as technology gets better. Like, I don't know.
Dude, I completely agree. And now there are these new goggles that you can just wear, that you can always have them over your face. Your screen is now constantly in front of your face.
Yep.
It's like, as if it wasn't already, now they have goggles, and you see people walking around cities wearing this stuff, like, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Working on
it's
the
absolutely
subway.
Nuts.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're not supposed to know about every single thing that happens, every devastation, it's terrible.
It doesn't discount how awful the things happening are, but it's almost like having information that you can't act upon. It's debatable how useful that is. So if you're going to specialize in a subject and you're going to dedicate hours and hours of your life to having a positive impact in that area, yes, knowing about it is a good thing. But just knowing about every single conflict, and, like, I don't know. And then, oh, you have a duty to be informed. But if it's making you worse, and it's making you worse for people around you, and you're not really doing anything with that information because we have finite time on Earth, so we can't positively contribute to every negative situation, just I don't know. I'm working out my thoughts live here.
Dude, I completely agree.
Live on the Personal Trainer Podcast. How to become a personal trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to be. It's like, yeah. I mean, I also think about people think times are worse now than ever. It's like, read a medieval history book.
Yeah.
Like, dear Lord, you think times are bad now? Like, it doesn't mean that people aren't suffering tremendously now, but in terms of the percentage of people who are suffering and like what they're suffering for, the like, there are way more people living really wonderful, peaceful lives today than there were
ever in human history.
Yeah, exactly.
What one of the benefits of decentralized communication, meaning millions of quote unquote independent journalists rather than three talking heads giving you all the information, is that it's easier for truth to bubble up to the top.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. So when you don't just have your puppet telling the news on three different stations and or your newspaper and your radio, and like those are the only places there's gate kept information, rather we can communicate peer to peer much more easily. It's easier to not be deceived, which is a good thing, but I don't know if the benefits outweigh the costs.
It's also starting to change because so much of these people on Instagram and YouTube, these like who I'd call independent journalists, and this is for all over. This isn't just like one specific group. This is for all over, but they started out building their name because they were independent and because they were providing unbiased information. And then as their channels grew, then they needed to make money. So they started taking sponsorships. And then they're also going, you have to remember the currency is views.
Yep.
That's the currency. And so now they built their channel based off of their truth and their independence and all that. Now it's like, okay, well, now I have sponsorships. Now I have to hit these quotas in order to continue to get paid by these sponsorships. So then often what I'm seeing now is a lot of these independent journalists are now clickbaiting and doing things that the mainstream media outlets have historically done just so that they can get more views, losing a lot of the nuance, making it more one-sided, make more fear-mongering, just so that they can get more of their currency, which is views and followers, so that they can make more money. So it's like even these independent ones are now starting to fall into the same trap that the mainstream journalists have fallen into for years and years and years. So it's a big problem. It's a really big problem.
Yeah. And the lone individual against the technological capabilities of these giant companies in making you spend as much, and I say making because they're really pulling you in to have you spend as much time on their apps and on your phone as possible. Like, I just don't think it's a battle that the individuals win in the long run. Some will, obviously, but it's becoming harder and harder.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Okay, I have one. Mike's going to be shocked that I bring this one up. So, Michelle, it's Michelle asked, can Pilates be enough for strength? And, well, Mike and I don't necessarily agree on the flexibility strength discussion. While Pilates absolutely can increase your strength, I don't think it's enough from a strength perspective. I don't think that the strength that it builds is enough for all of your strength demands and all of your strength requirements. I think it builds very specific types of strength, and it can absolutely improve strength, period. But in terms of enough, no, it's not even close. You still have to do more, I would say, traditional, conventional strength training with progressive overload to get enough strength. But I also think in reverse, that if you're doing traditional, conventional strength training, that you're lacking if you're not doing some of the other type of strength work as well that you might get with something like a Pilates.
I think we're finding common ground. I think Jordan just threw out, I don't know if it's a life raft or a white flag or what you call this analogy, but so you would say that, or here, would you agree with this? or would you replace Pilates with stretching, and that would make sense as well? You can get stronger by stretching, but the strength you're going to gain is not enough.
Correct. Yep. 100%.
Sure. Well, we found our middle ground. Yes. I agree that not the way most people stretch, but if you're doing a front split and you're driving both feet in and you're isometrically contracting that front hamstring and that back quad and you're holding it and you're pushing as hard as you can, I'm not denying that you're building some strength, but not enough
strength. But it's not enough.
Yeah. And 99% of people aren't stretching like that, let me tell you.
Correct.
I've seen people warm up in gyms across the world and stretch, and that's not what they're doing. Bless their heart. Myself included. Look, I'm in that 99. That's for sure.
You're doing a lot of cat-cows, though. Cat-cows. You love those.
I'm doing mobility. I'm increasing my flexibility and my mobility, yeah.
Thoughts on foam rolling. Is it worth the pain?
You want to talk about this?
So I think that foam rolling is very, very, very overrated.
Still? Because are people still into it?
There are some people, even if people aren't into it, I still think it's overrated.
Okay.
But there are some people who are into it. I mean, relative to 2012, no. Like that was like a, maybe when was the peak? 2012, 2014 in that range? That was probably like the peak foam rolling days.
Sure. Yep.
People would like foam roll for like 30 minutes before their workout. It's just like, yeah, no. And by people, I mean me.
yep.
Foam rolling my peroneals and fucking, yeah. No, it's, I think it's overrated because I think that in terms of actually making changes to your body, it doesn't really do much from like a long lasting perspective. It can have short term improvements in mobility that you can then carry into your session, but I would rather you do something that would actually be worthwhile, whether it's a dynamic or a static or something that actually has more long-term benefits than that. I would say foam rolling would probably be better as like a, you're at home, you're bored, you're watching TV, you want to do something and you want to feel better, great, go for it. But as if you're like super busy and you don't have much time and every second counts, foam rolling is not where you should be spending your time. Foam rolling, I would say, is more of like, you've got some extra time on your hands. Yeah, go for it. But it's not like anywhere near the top priority.
I agree with all of that. And if what you want to do is manipulate soft tissue, it's also not the best tool to do that. Like it's very blunt. It's very, like you can't be very precise with the area you're trying to target. Using something like a tennis ball, a lacrosse ball, a softball is going to allow you for most body parts to be more specific with what you're trying to do. What's interesting to me is that this person said, it hurts so, like, is it worth all of the pain or it hurts so much? Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? That's what interests me the most, because maybe it's a specific body part or muscle group that she's having an issue with, but for most people, you shouldn't be in like intense pain foam rolling.
Maybe she's just going right on the IT band and just fucking putting all of her weight on it.
Letting it loose. Yeah, that is
which like you shouldn't be doing.
and that is one area where it is going to hurt, so that makes sense.
And what there are questions over whether or not it's even worth it to do that, but yeah.
Correct. The thing I like, I have a foam roller right over there. I use it, I don't know, once or twice a week, and I do T-spine extensions over it as one of the ways that I like to arch my upper back. I like it for that. Outside of that, the one area that Jordan mentioned, which is if you like foam rolling during your pre-workout warm-up, in addition to other things you're doing in your warm-up, to get slightly more mobility that is temporary but allows you to train in a bigger range, great. You can continue to do that. And training in that bigger range, controlled and intelligently, is going to allow you to, over time, increase your range of motion. But yeah, not the end-all be-all that people thought it once was.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I got one.
Let's hear it.
This isn't a question at all. It's just a statement. The term superfood is underrated.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
We need to bring back superfood along with clean eating.
All right.
And not in the spammy way, right? Not like, what's that milk called? Colostrum?
Yep.
Not colostrum, but the traditional OG superfoods.
Like blueberries?
Like blueberries, salmon, avocados, like the true superfoods. Not a scientific term, but loosely scientific.
So what's like
a marketing term to influence people into eating clean once again? What's the definition? Is that what you're going to say?
No. What are like your top? So we have blueberries, salmon. What are like your top superfoods?
Let's have a draft.
Oh, wow. I like that. That makes me think of the Chappelle Show, The Draft.
That's not the kind of draft that I was talking about, Jordan, or anyone who has seen.
It's one of like the most like classic skits of all time. But anyway, okay, yeah. So I'll do a superfood draft.
It is a very funny episode.
You go first.
Wow. I'm going blueberry.
Man.
Don't Google list of superfoods. That's so unfair. That's so unfair. I'm going to do it too.
No, you can't do it. I literally saw it for less than a second.
We can both look at it. Then we know what we're drafting from.
Okay. All right, cool. It's just like I said, list of superfoods, and we've got like a big...
Oh, man.
A big thing. I didn't click an article. So you picked blueberries.
I took blueberries.
What's wrong with that? It's like an amazing pick.
It's good, but I don't think it was the one seed now that I have this list in front of me. But go ahead.
Oh, jeez. All right. Now I have a lot of pressure.
I don't think you're going to take my pick.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to go with... All right. So if anyone just Google searches list of superfoods, you'll see like a big list that comes right up. It's not even in an article. You'll see what we're looking at. I'm going to say avocado.
Whole egg.
Was that the one that you were worried about?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. No, I was not going to pick that. Okay. I'm going to go salmon.
I mean, we can take things off of this list too, obviously.
Oh, we can? Okay.
Yeah. Are we trying to construct the ultimate team so it needs to be balanced?
Yeah.
Meaning you wouldn't take two quarterbacks, you would...
Yeah, you know, we want like the most well-balanced.
Okay. In that case, I'm going with sweet potato.
Man, is that like the only starchy carb there? I think you literally... Oh, okay.
You can take something off the list.
No, you know what? I'm going to stick to the list and I'm going to go with berries.
Which one?
It just says berries.
I know, but that's...
At the top of the middle.
I see.
That's like raspberries, blackberries. You got blueberries. I'll just take raspberries and blackberries.
I'm afraid that I can only give you one of those.
All right, I'll take blackberries because they taste better.
Gosh. You did it because you know I like them. That's strategic. Jordan's a strong GM. I'm going with mackerel.
Really? You just searched fatty fish?
Yeah.
All right. All right, you know what? I'm going with garlic.
Wow. Care to explain that pick?
Yeah, dude. You can put garlic in anything that you make, and there's just so many health benefits that come with garlic. That it's just like you can add it to anything that you want. So you could add it to your salmon. Obviously I wouldn't put it in my berries, but like I could add it to any of the meals that I'm going to eat. And it's super good for you.
I'm going olive oil.
And it makes it all taste way better too.
True.
All right. That's really, but you did that because you knew that was going to be one of my picks. All right. I'm going to go with margarine. Kidding. It's not a superfood. all right. I'm going to go with. Oh, you know what the number one, like most overrated thing on this whole list is, by the way, that I would not call a superfood?
What?
Green tea. That's just like some bullshit. all right. Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to go with legumes.
I'm going almonds. Not on the list, but.
It is on the list. It's right above legumes.
Oh, we have different lists.
Oh, interesting. Did you search list of superfoods?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's on my list.
Weird.
All right, you got almonds. All right, I'm going to go with tomatoes.
Wow. You like tomatoes?
Yeah, love tomatoes. Want that lycopene.
I'm going bison.
Wow, you're just adding foods to the list.
Yeah.
That's just a super lean protein option for you. Like, it's so lean and so high protein, I'm taking it.
that, and I'm actually not even positive on this. Yeah, and the creatine. I'd just rather go bison than cow if it's superfood forever.
All right, I'm taking Greek yogurt.
Ice cream.
That's... We're no longer in the superfood draft if you're taking ice cream.
We are, because I stumbled across a corner of the internet that considers ice cream a superfood. All these, Ray Pete was the guy's name, and there's these people in this corner of Twitter that call themselves Peters, and they eat carrot salad and ice cream and like do these unconventional things.
For everyone listening, Mike is explaining that for you, not for me. He made me eat an entire pint of Haagen-Dazs the other day.
I didn't make you. We're gonna talk about digestion. Let's go. Let's dive in. Jordan's lactose and many people are to lactose intolerant to varying degrees. Jordan doesn't handle ice cream well digestively, historically never has. And so it wasn't a great idea to try ice cream to improve digestion, but it worked for me, N equals one, specifically subbing out all other types of dessert food, cookies, candy, whatever, which I haven't had in weeks, chewy bars. We had an episode titled, it was titled like Chewy Bars and Marcus Aurelius or something. Like,
yeah.
Got rid of all that stuff. The only dessert food I'm having is Haagen-Dazs. And I don't know, I've had maybe 4 pints in 3 weeks or something to that effect. And my digestion is dialed. And I don't know that it's specifically the... I can't back this up with any science, but I do think there's a relaxation component. Like, I don't think it's just about what you're eating. I think there's something about sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system activity based on everything in your life, like how stressed you are, how much sleep you're getting, et cetera. And ice cream is a calming food. And I don't even want to say for me and put a caveat on it. I think that for most people, it is.
But what is it about Haagen-Dazs versus the other stuff?
Honestly, I just have always liked the taste, and so I eat it for that reason.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But I did, the non-science answer is this weird corner of Twitter said that it's good because it has fewer ingredients than other ice creams. And I was already eating it and it fit my confirmation bias. I was like, oh, well, good. I'll just continue with that.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And then I ended up having a whole pint because Mike was like, you got to do this. You got to do it. So then I ate a whole fucking pint of it. And then I was just like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to eat like shit the whole rest of the day.
Bro, that story is... I was on the phone with Jordan. It's like, where do you find this stuff? I'm like, well, yeah, like a Walgreens or a CVS will have it. You go in there, you were looking at the flavors, like what flavor should I get? You picked out your flavor, got a spoon, went out in the car and you ate it. And
I think it was vanilla bean.
You told me how full you were afterwards. Like, I'm so full. That was a lot. I'm like, yeah, it's a whole pint of ice cream. But like, and then like 20 minutes later or 15 minutes later, I called you back, or you called me back for some reason, and you're chomping something down. I'm like, what are you eating? Like popcorn? I was like, why are you eating popcorn? You told me you were stuffed from that ice cream. Like, I had to go in and, you know, get my wife a whatever. And I saw the popcorn, so I just grabbed it. I was like, yeah, but you're stuffed from the ice cream. Like, I just threw in the towel on nutrition for the day.
I was like, ah, fuck it. Yeah. I'm just calling it. Yeah. I threw it in.
Yeah. That was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not a whole pint of ice cream in a day kind of guy.
It's where individual variance is big on food choices and digestibility.
All right. So you're choosing ice cream. All right. Should we just do one more choice and then that'll be it?
Yes.
All right. All right. You know what? In the spirit of desserts, I'll take a... Let's see. I'll just take milk chocolate. It says dark chocolate, but I hate dark chocolate, so I'm just going to go milk chocolate.
Nice. I don't think I've drafted a vegetable yet. So...
All right, Paul Saladino.
I already... Wow, I could really... What if I picked honey right now? This is the last pick. I would want to take I would want to take carrots, but I already took sweet potato, so I'll have to go with some other vegetable. I don't really like that. I guess broccoli. Not super happy about the pick. I'd like some, but I have olive oil, which helps. Honey, white rice, carrots. I would all like to be on my team, but the game is ending right now. So
yeah, that was good.
Good episode. Thank you for listening weekly, Tuesday mornings. Jordan's crushing three posts a week at Personal Trainer Podcast on Instagram. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a wonderful week. See you soon.
See ya.